right, what's up, everybody? This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. Thanks so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Once again, we are rolling strong with these podcasts. I think this is episode 6, maybe, that I've done since starting back up. This is season 2. Very excited to be here. So thanks so much for tuning in. This is really cool. This episode is with Adam Nye, and Adam is the lead singer, songwriter for Too Bad Eugene, and he also plays in Craig's Brother, which were two Tooth and Nail Records bands from back in the day, still active, still going strong, and I've always been a big fan of both of those bands. Craig's Brother was a big influence on me growing up. That fast, melodic skate punk was really what I was into when I was a kid. And then Too Bad Eugene, I remember listening to them quite a bit in the early 2000s when their album Moonlighting came out. And so this was great to talk with Adam. And when I was on tour last month on the West Coast, we actually got to play a show with Too Bad Eugene. So that was really cool. I got to meet Adam, talk to him, got to see Too Bad Eugene play. They are awesome. Super, super cool, rad dudes. And this was great, a great follow-up to that, to just be able to sit down and talk to him about his musical journey with Too Bad Eugene and Craig's Brother. So super, super stoked for y'all to hear this. Make sure that if you do want to support Adam and any of his projects, you can go to People of Punk Rock, and you can People of Punk Rock Records, and you can pick up one of his albums. They have the newest one for Too Bad Eugene is called Battle Scars, and then they have another vinyl out called Distance. So make sure to pick one of those up. And if you want to support this podcast, and the best way to support me would be to pick up one of our vinyl records on in our web store, which is just WesHoffmanAndFriends.BigCartel.com. And you can pick up t-shirts, vinyl, cassettes. We got all kinds of stuff up there. So, and I did want to just share real quick here. My band also has a show coming up on May 10th here in St. Louis, where I'm based out of, at Platypus. And that is with World's Greatest Dad, Dialogue, and Young Animals. World's Greatest Dad is another great band that put out an awesome record last year on Side One Dummy Records. Very, very excited to play with them. So we're looking forward to that. And then on May 20th, also in St. Louis, at the Duck Room at Blueberry Hill, we are playing with Real Friends, The New Aesthetic, and our friends in Chainstay. So if you're in St. Louis and you're listening, please come out to either of those shows. If not, maybe we'll be coming to your part of town, maybe your part of the world at some point, someday, but we will love to see you guys soon at a show. So enjoy this episode with Adam Nye. So what is up, everybody? I am here today. I have Adam Nye from Too Bad Eugene and Craig's Brother. How are you, man?
Good. Doing great.
Awesome, dude. Thank you so much for doing this. It's so great to see you again.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome seeing you. What was it, last month?
Yeah. It's been a little bit over a month, but it's like that weird feeling where it feels like it's been a long time, but it also feels like it's been like yesterday.
Yeah, I had to think about it for a minute. I'm like, no, that was only last month.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, in Santa Cruz, we played the show together. I'm just opening this up a little bit. Like, have you been in Santa Cruz? Did you grow up there?
Yep.
Okay.
Born and raised.
So what's the punk scene been like there in Santa Cruz? It was, the show that we did was good.
Oh yeah. That was one of our best shows at the Blue Lagoon. That was a lot of fun. The punk scene, you know, for me, I totally associate it with the 90s when I was in high school, because it was electric back then. But of course, I was also young and impressionable. And when I first started going to punk shows, my freshman or sophomore year of high school, it was like a whole new world for me. I had nothing to compare it to. But Good Riddance and Fury 66 were the two big local bands, and we kind of thought of both of those bands about equally. locally, had no idea that Good Riddance was blowing up all over the world.
Yeah.
And Fury was doing really well, but they were kind of our hometown heroes. I don't think they quite ever got the national recognition they deserved. But you mentioned those two bands, and that means it was a hardcore scene.
Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't a lot of like pop punk. It was fast. It was angry. It was political. It was killer pits. Kind of dangerous. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah, man. I mean, we don't really have like a band from the 90s that blew up like that in St. Louis, where I'm from. We have Story of the Year, but that was like 2003, 2000, you know, when they were really big. So, no, that's really cool to hear, man. Yeah. We really enjoyed our time out there. We went to the boardwalk the next morning and like did all the Santa Cruz type stuff. So, well, tell me, dude, I have like so many questions for you. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask anyway, but it also came from Instagram, from my friend Maddie Jordan in Florida. What was kind of, and we talked about this on the phone a while back, what sparked the fire in you to, because too bad Eugene had been around in the late 90s and early 2000s. And I remember Moonlighting was on Tooth and Nail Records. I was a big fan of that record. I love the opening riff of like pre-modern Madonna, and that song, like All I Want, All at Once. That was another.
I just released an acoustic version of that song today.
Oh, dude, I have to go listen to that. Yeah, that just randomly gets stuck in my head sometimes. All at once, all at once. Like, so, you know. But then it seemed like you guys kind of fell off for a minute. So, what was it that kind of sparked your fire to get back and start doing Too Bad Eugene stuff again?
Well, I mean, so like when music faded for me was in the like the mid and late 2000s. The bands I was in were fizzling, and I moved to Scotland and did a PhD.
Oh wow!
I was doing a master's degree all throughout the middle of the 2000s, and then I finished that and took the jump to go to a PhD at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. In Christian theology, of all things, for a punk rock guy to do. But so, yeah, when I came back from that, I kind of floundered trying to find an academic full-time job, but ended up working at the church I grew up in, and that turned out really badly, like traumatizingly badly. And so it was kind of... it was a multi-years recovery process from how much pain I went through from that.
Yeah.
And the shutdown in 2020 was kind of at the tail end of that healing process. And so all of a sudden, you know, I had already been kind of doing better, but all of that time to kind of be at home and spend time with my wife, we would go for walks and stuff. And I had, all this other free time. I took all of the stuff I had been dealing with for the previous several years and started writing songs out of it. I had written one or two in the intervening years, but got to a place where I was like, I'm ready to really start writing again. And even though I had been in one band after Too Bad Eugene, I knew I kind of wanted to go back to. We had done this band Thrush that was kind of drop D, kind of harder rock stuff, and that was more feeding the tastes of Andy Snyder, who had been my musical partner since Craig's brother. He was kind of too bad Eugene fizzled, I think, mostly because Andy lost interest. He wanted to do something sort of harder, so we had done this band that became called Thrush, but it fizzled. And so when I wanted to go back to music, Andy wasn't interested in doing Thrush again, neither was I. I didn't want to start something brand new. I wanted to, I wanted to do pop punk music again, and I felt like Too Bad Eugene had never quite made the record we were capable of. So I was channeling all this frustration, but also healing and stuff I was kind of dealing with. I was like, I want to make Too Bad Eugene type of music out of this stuff and write those kinds of songs. So yeah, the end of 2020, beginning of 2021 was when it was like, all right, I think there's enough to write about and enough free time to do that and enough energy to do it those were kind of the multiple sparks that sort of coalesced into a flame.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you find that that writing process of getting out a lot of that frustration and some of the trauma and everything? Because I find, for me, it was a divorce, which I, you have a song called Divorce Story. So it's one of my favorite songs.
Thank you.
But did you find that to be pretty cathartic and like therapeutic for you?
Hugely. Like, I would say as sad as the whole pandemic and shutdown was, and I lost family member from it, still that was such a healing time for me. I'm like, I feel guilty of how positively nostalgic I am for 2020. That was kind of an amazing year for me. The writing process was a huge part of that. It was amazing turning pain into art.
Did it come?
It was very soothing for me. I look back to that year. I'm like, not that, that kind of pain never fully goes away, but it doesn't it doesn't define me or dominate my emotions anymore. I feel like I've been able to leave it behind at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you, and I agree. I mean, I really, 2020 was a year for me, it is kind of weird because I do miss a little bit of that staying home. And I met my girlfriend, who I'm still with to this day, during that, during the pandemic. And, everything was shut down. So you really only had time to just spend with each other. And go on walks. I went on a lot of long walks, and it was just what I needed, because I had separated from my ex-wife, and I needed that time to just for things to slow down for a minute. Did you find that going through, because I definitely found this when I started to write about these experiences, that it came pretty easy, the writing process came pretty easy for me. Did you find the same?
I mean, it's kind of a spectrum. Some of them, sometimes you have a song in 20 minutes in a morning and you never mess with it and it comes easy. Other ones took a while, were a little harder, and they kind of have a longer evolution process. But I will say, I was honestly thankful for the pain, because it meant I had something to write about. And it made the music making process so much more meaningful. And when I listened back to the music we were making in the first two Too Bad Eugene records, there are songs there that still mean a lot to me, but there's also a lot of stuff that was just sort of, I don't know, I wrote lyrics because you need things to sing when you're singing a song. And I mean, they didn't come from anywhere that meant anything. Because at that point in my life, I hadn't really lived all that much. I didn't have that much to write about. I won't say it all made it easier, but it made it more meaningful. And it kept me writing. Whether it was easy or hard, it was a compulsion. I just had to keep writing.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So you talked about that... Too Bad Eugene, you felt like you guys never really got to write the record that you wanted to write or that you were capable of. And I've actually listened to over the last, actually pretty much since, I've been listening to your stuff for a while, leading up to our show that we played last month together. But I've listened to Battle Scars probably 3 or 4 times all the way through within the last couple weeks. And that is a really good record.
Thank you.
So let me ask you this. Do you feel like now you guys have written the record that you could write?
I'll say, so Distance was the first record we made, after 2020. That was the record we started making in 2021. And I was, and still am, really happy with that record. And to me, that was the, we had made two records before. I wasn't really happy with either one, and now we had a record that I was happy with, and I still am. Like, I still can listen to Distance and I'm proud. Same time, as soon as we were done making it, I'm like, I think we could do better, and I think Battle Scars is better. And I still feel that way. We're going to start recording a new record. I was hoping we would start this month, but it sounds like we're starting very soon. It's kind of the drummer, our drummer Connor, he has a recording studio, and we're just kind of getting, he's just dealing with some things to get ready to have the space ready. But that should be within the next couple of weeks. And I feel strongly optimistic that this next record will outdo Battle Scars. And I hope we just kind of keep, but it's not a kind of, it doesn't feel the same. Like with Distance, it was the proof of concept that we could make records that I would be happy with. Cause anytime I told anybody that I wasn't fully happy with our first two records, you always get the response like, well, you know, don't you feel like you would just never be happy? Like you're self-critical and you could never really be happy with your own work. And I was always like, no, I actually don't think I'm that hard to please. and so, yeah, both of those two records have done that. I'm like, okay, I've made two records now that I'm really happy with.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just want to keep making more.
That's so cool, man. I hope you do, because I'm into them. So, so tell me a little bit about – so you play bass in Too Bad Eugene, and you play guitar in Craig's Brother, right? So did you play guitar in Craig's Brother way back in the day when you originally played with him?
Yep.
Okay. So can you tell me a little bit about like how, you know, when you're writing songs for Too Bad Eugene and you know you're going to be playing bass, do you write everything on an acoustic guitar first and then bring it to the band and say, hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking? Or do you guys write all together and do you have like a structured, you know, you just kind of have the chord progression, or, you know, that's the first part of the question. And the second, then I'll go into the second part.
Okay. No, I'm kind of an overwriter. The band doesn't hear it until I've got, I do a full produced demo.
Okay.
With all the guitar parts, bass parts, I program the drums, but I program the fills where I want them to be. And
sure.
I don't make everybody do exactly what's there in the demo. I'm like, this gives you an idea. You can move away from it in terms of you don't have to do this exact fill or this exact kick pattern. Sometimes I am more specific about that. But I tend to think of songs pretty holistically. Just because I've been doing this a long time and I've found that I've come up with melody ideas I thought were killer, but if they couldn't be fleshed out into a full arrangement that supported it, then a melody by itself isn't enough to sustain a song. And I have been in collaborative writing environments in the past. That band Thrush was the most collaborative band I've been in, where, you know, somebody would just bring in one piece of an idea, then we would all, you know, work the rest of the song out. But we were a band for like 4 years and we finished like 7 songs. It took forever.
Yeah, yeah.
To work collaboratively in that way. And also we, you know, there was, especially between Andy Snyder and I, we both kind of have very specific tastes and high standards. And we were kind of always trying to get past each other's vetoes, you know what I mean? Like satisfy each other's standards. And when Andy was like, he's got younger kids and he wasn't really up for doing Too Bad Eugene with me in this new iteration, but he gave me his blessing to go ahead without him. And so part of that was a freedom to just, not be collaborative for me, just to be able to take my own instincts and take them all the way to write everything about a song I wanted to hear. Because I tend, I think pretty holistically when it comes to songs. I demo the crap out of these songs. It's a long process. From the time I'm like, I've made a first demo to the time I hand it over to the band and I'm ready for them to learn it, it will have gone through several iterations, because the whole thing needs to work from, you know, before I'm ready to go forward. the rips, the starts and the stops, the arrangements. I tighten all the screws. And being able to do that by myself, I can go so fast.
Yeah.
Working in a collaborative environment. I don't want to make the whole record myself. Ultimately, I want to be in a band. And I want the guys in the band to have their creative input. And I have worked with guys in the past that would be very unsatisfied with the way I do this. But these guys, Jason and Sam, the guitar players, and Connor, our drummer, they're all pretty happy with me giving them fully fleshed out ideas. They feel the freedom to, and we do have like, you know, sessions where they'll, it's like, what if we did this rather than that? And it's always best idea wins. I'm fine with them. You know, I'm like, as long as you've learned what I put down, but you have a better idea, awesome. But let's start with the demo as it is and move from there. So anyway, yeah, that's you know, definitely the process. I write at home, and then we take it to the band, and we learn all the songs, and we workshop it from there. But it starts from a pretty developed place once we bring it into the band room.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to hear you say that, because that's it, that's exactly how I write everything too. I've always, in other bands that I was in where it was a collective effort, there's usually, I feel like, at least in the bands that I've been in, it's like when we would have practice and we would write, it would be like most of the time me coming up with a song idea, a chorus or a riff, and then everybody kind of building around it. And every once in a while, maybe the bass player would bring something or the guitarist. But I always felt that way in every band that I was in, because I've just always grown up writing songs. You know what I mean? Like as soon as I could learn how to play guitar, I was a songwriter, you know what I mean? So, I was always coming up with new stuff. And then when I started this band, you know, the same thing was happening, and I wasn't really serious about it at first. I was like, I just kind of want to write and demo some songs. And, then I started figuring out GarageBand, and I was like, oh, I can make whole songs with this. And, you know, I had never done that before. I'd never really gotten into recording. And, I totally agree with what you say. You know, I know it's going to change a little bit when I bring it to the other guys, and when they learn it, they're going to put their fingerprint on it. And especially our drummer, you know, a lot of times I kind of am just like, here's the basic idea, but this isn't even really what I want. What I want is this, and I couldn't program it. So I start speaking drummer to him, you know, but he always makes it sound way better than it was going to. But, you know, and our bass player, like he'll throw in extra fills and stuff like that where he feels like it's supposed to be. And, but yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like it goes so much faster that way for me. Instead of, I think back to those days when we didn't have phones, and we didn't have GarageBand, and we didn't have these things to like record ideas down, even in the most like simple way. Like we couldn't just even do a voice memo of practice on or a video of practice on our phone. And it would take us like, you know, 3 or 4 practices to get a song down. And then, you know, in between, it's like, okay, well, we practice this Thursday, and when we come back Tuesday, the bass player's already forgotten most of the song, and so we're learning it all over again. And yeah, so, my second part of that question is, then how do things differ in Craig's Brother for writing?
I was a part of the writing process for Homecoming, Craig's Brother's first full-length record.
Yeah.
And then I haven't been in the band. I just rejoined after they made their most recent record. So I haven't really been in on like a writing process with Craig's Brother for 25 years. But yeah, that like we made attempts in the 90s when I was in the band to write collectively. And it wasn't super fruitful. It tended to be, if I wrote a song or if Andy Snyder wrote a song, we pretty much wrote the whole song. Ted, when he wrote a song, he would write an acoustic guitar. So he would write the melodies and like the structure of the song. But then like Andy and I would take that and add all the riffs. Ted would come with some like, if there was like a main melody riff. It would come with that. But like, I remember some of the sessions Andy and I had where Ted had showed us a song and then we would go away without him and just come up with as many little metal harmonized riffs as we could. And then, you know, and then he got final veto. Like, we had to kind of come up with, like, whoever wrote the song got final say on creative decisions because we couldn't agree on it. Greg Miller had very little time coming up with, like, consensus decision-making. We had to have a process where one guy got to make a decision for their song. But, yeah, there would be – the hard thing with that was, at least I had a couple of songs – that, yeah, I would get to make the decisions on how the song went, and then they would get to make the decision about whether we actually did the song. And I lost a couple because I didn't like them enough. I was like, man, would I rather have been more collaborative? Or, because, yeah, it just felt like they, Andy and Ted had such high standards. But I think, you know, with good reason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, but like, Steven and Ted have been doing the writing for the last, gosh, several decades now, and I don't actually know. I know they both write. I don't know if they write together. I know for Craig Miller's second record, Lost at Sea, Ted and Dan McClintock wrote together a few of those songs. I remember hearing some stories from Ted about how much of a song he would have, and then Dan would do some other stuff with it. And they had a really good, productive songwriting partnership for that record. But yeah, we weren't really doing that. I think Andy and Ted had.
Okay.
Maybe before I joined the band. Some of the songs are the product of those two working together. But yeah, collaborations. You really have to have some trust to write with a songwriting partner. You got to have an openness and a vulnerability and trust that's hard to come by.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
When we started Too Bad Eugene, I think we intended that. But I think Andy just always found the genre of pop punk too much of a second language for him that he couldn't really get into the songwriting process. Yeah. He would develop the songs. I would write the song and then he would riffify it. But we couldn't really write together.
Yeah.
We intended to. We tried. It just never really happened.
I get that. Yeah. And I think it would be, I've never really had that experience of writing with another person. You know what I mean? So I would definitely, the more over the last couple of weeks or so, I've been like, man, I there's a friend of mine. I'm like, I like his song. He's in another band and he's played in our band. And I was like, man, I really like the way this guy writes. And I think it would be interesting to just sit down with someone and try to write a song together and see what comes out, because everything that I've, you know, that's Wes Hoffman and friends is it's just me, you know? So, right. It'd be interesting to see what happens when you throw somebody else in the mix like that. So, and I will say this, our bass player, a lot of times, Jacob, he does listen to, you know, we'll go down to the studio and we'll listen to songs and he'll give me his honest opinion on like, dude, you can write a better chorus or the verses, like the cadence of the lyrics needs to be changed. It's like, I'm losing interest in the verses, but like when the chorus hits, I'm like, I'm there. So he definitely like helps just in that regard. And we've been in bands together for a really long time. So I have that trust in like vulnerability with him that you're talking about. Speaking of all that, we were big, we were both big Tooth and Nail kids back in the day, you know, and Craig's brother and Too Bad Eugene were both on Tooth and Nail. Like, what was that like for you guys, like, when, you know, you put out Homecoming and then, of course, Moonlighting, like, and that was just such, for kids growing up in, like, youth group and stuff like that, like, our drummer, a guy who plays, he doesn't play with us all the time, but he fills in with us regularly. He was the drummer for Sidewalk Slam and Run Kid Run.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt Jackson.
Okay, so, I remember those bands.
Yeah, he's gonna be on this podcast. I'm gonna get him on. But yeah. So what was that like for you guys, kind of coming up, you know, in that scene?
Yeah, man, that was huge for me. I'll say, and I think I've heard Ted be public about this. Like, nobody else in Craig's brother cared about Tooth and Nail. I was pushing. I was like, dude, we need to go with Tooth and Nail. They weren't, you know, I think we were all, sonically at least, we were drawing inspiration from the bands on Epitaph and Fat.
Sure.
And so for them, that was the goal, or at least one of the bands sort of in that, or one of the labels in that orbit. Tooth and Nail had MXPX, who, you know, we all thought were really cool. I was definitely like a big fan.
Me too.
I think maybe more than most, the other guys in the band were, but I don't think they saw them as like a comparable band to what we were trying to do. I think it was Slick Shoes signing to Tooth and Nail and putting out their 4-song EP. That was kind of what made the rest of Craig's Brother like, okay, yeah, we could work with those guys, because that was kind of, they felt like more in our orbit. It was like riffy,
yeah,
and kind of, no effects, you know, comparable, where, you know, I don't know how they saw MXPX, but they just didn't think of them as that kind of band. They kind of just had their own sound. So yeah. And I will say we sent demos to all, you know, Fat and Epitaph and Hopeless and, if they were around at the point, I think they were. And we just, you know, we either got nothing or rejection from all those other labels, and Tooth and Nail made us an offer. So yeah, the rest of the band was like, okay. I was like, yeah. I was so stoked. And man, I appreciated it at the time, but I appreciate it so much more now, seeing how hard it is to get anything done these days, where back then it was like, that experience was, it was having something really massive just sort of like handed to us. We were able to record a record at West Beach Studios in Hollywood that was like owned by Bad Religion. You know, they put us in a hotel, and we spent 2 straight weeks, I think it was, tracking, and then another like 5 days mixing.
Wow.
And they paid for all. And we were like, that is just insane to even think about now.
Yeah.
And you know, did the artwork and did the pressing and connected us with bands to go on tour with. And we went on tour that summer of 98. I think we were only on tour for like a week or so before the record was out. And by like the third show we played after the release date of our CD, people were coming to the shows and singing the songs.
Wow.
That was an insane experience. Like, nothing I've ever done musically since then has been anything like that.
That's awesome.
We spent that whole summer on tour, and it just got more and more that way.
Yeah, that is so cool, man. That's so cool. Yeah, and there's a lot of... I think you're totally right. Like, it is way... I think that age of the labels just work completely differently now. Like, you know, it's like you have to make the record and then, you know, give it to them and say, hey, will you put this out? Will you promote it? You know, like, it's just very different than it was back in the day. And I mean, it is, I mean, back then we were just listening to everything that was on Tooth and Nail and Vagrant and Epitaph and Fat, because like those were those were really the only way to find out about those bands was to like follow the labels. And you know, this was very early, like, just music wasn't distributed the way that it is now, where it's like instantly in your hands. And a lot of times we'd be like, you know, I'd have to go 2 or 3 towns over to a mall, because I grew up in a small town, to find a CD that I wanted, because they didn't have it in my town or nearby, or, you know. So well, tell me a little, I know we're getting a little short on time here. Well, my Zoom is, it's like an ongoing joke here. I still have the free version of Zoom, so it's going to shut us off in 8 minutes.
Okay.
But I'm getting to the point where like the podcast is gaining steam again, so I'm going to have to upgrade here in a bit. Tell us a little bit about, I know Craig's Brother is now working with People of Punk Rock, and so is Too Bad Eugene, and I'm a big fan of that label. Yeah, just be interested to hear about, you know, your experience working with them and now putting out vinyl through them.
Yeah, it's, you know, a huge amount of what happened in early 2021 was me having to just relearn music. but I'm not like the music industry. Because
right,
it's
right.
just nothing like it had been when I knew what it was. And so I went to Steven and Ted, Craig's brother, like asking them, like, dude, what do you do? How does this stuff work? And they were talking to people of punk rock about their next record. I'm like, okay, is it okay if I call them too? And they're like, sure, here's their, you know, here's their contact. They were really awful, both Steven and Ted. And so because awesome. People of punk rock is like connected to the guys that run Red Bridge Fest in Quebec. And Craig's brother has been like, they've had a good audience. Have had a big audience in Quebec since like 99, like right after I left the band. It was the first time they went there. And every time they've gone there ever since, they've done really well. They've played a few festivals. And that was like my in Quebec, and me first coming back to the band was for Red Bridge Fest 2 years ago, and that was
awesome.
That was nuts. The punk rock scene in Quebec is insane.
Yes, it is. It
and so that was also a driver for me of like, hey, these guys are based out there. I want to tap into that audience for Too Bad Eugene, and yeah, they've been great. It's so different because, yeah, as you say, like, you make the record yourself now, and you just kind of hand it to the label, and the labels, I mean, I guess, yeah, back in the 90s, you know, we were making our first records before Napster or anything, so, yeah, the label existed to help you make the record, but then to physically manufacture and distribute it. And so, yeah, now, like, the idea of we're back to vinyl. Our last few records have been made on CD as well. So that side of it is like it used to be, but the distribution is very different. Like you were mentioning, you know, if you – now with the Internet, anybody can get their music everywhere.
Yeah.
That wasn't true in the 90s. And if you made your own CD, you're taking it to independent record stores near you and taking it to your shows – whereas Tooth and Nail, I had a friend that went to Paris in like, I think 99, and saw our CD in a record store in Paris.
That's so awesome.
And I had people say they saw it all over the country. And yeah, that aspect of it was just huge. People of punk rock does not have to pull those kinds of strings. I don't know what kind of distribution our vinyl gets. I've never even bothered to see if it's in stores and stuff. People just order it directly.
Yeah, I think that's the way. Yeah, I think that's the way, is people order it directly, or maybe they ask the record store if they can order it for them, or you know. But and I still do, you know, I all the vinyl shops here in St. Louis, you know, I take our record up there and either, you know, they either buy it wholesale or just through consignment. You know, so
yeah.
Which is cool.
I've only done a little bit of that. I should do more.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's nice, like, then if somebody from, you know, usually they'll put it up, like, a local spotlight, you know, for, like, a couple weeks, you know, or something. So, well, brother, this was awesome. This was so good to talk to you, man. It's so good to see your face and hear your voice.
Congratulations on everything that's been going on with you. I just saw your tour announcement and the spam. A new label for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Dude, I'm just stoked to be doing it. You know what I mean?
That's killer.
So yeah, tell us a little bit about, like, where can people find you, you know, follow you and your bands and what do you have coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we're on Facebook and Instagram. Too Bad Eugene is, so is Craig's brother. And we're on all the streamers. Shouldn't be difficult to find us.
Yeah.
We have a pretty unique name. we're working on a couple of shows this summer in Southern California. So if you live down there, stay tuned. But other than that, we're planning on spending the summer and probably a little bit beyond making this new record.
Awesome.
Pretty excited about it. Should be out sometime next year.
I can't wait to hear it, man. Yeah, like I said, I've been jamming your stuff like the last couple of weeks a lot. So,
well, thank you.
Awesome, dude. Well, thank you. I hope you have a great evening. And yeah, man, we'll be in touch soon. I'll have this up on Thursday.
Awesome. Thanks,
Wes. Much love.